interim subsistence committee. House concurrent resolution number 93, which deals with the same issue of creating a permanent interim committee on subsistence. House joint resolution number 48 relating to legalizing hunting of migratory birds in the spring. And House Bill 772, an act relating to the subsistence take of fish and game. This deals with trade and barter of fish and game resources in the state of Alaska. I'm going to be taking the bills out of sequence here. I've had a request to take up House Bill 772 first because of time constraints on several people that want to testify. And if the committee has no objection, we'll just go right into the hearing testimony if people would like to testify on House Bill 772. Forthwith, and then after we've heard comments from the public on all of these bills, then I think I'd like to have staff brief the committee on several issues that are before Congress and give you a briefing on the teleconference that's planned for April and other issues that the committee members may want to bring up during this meeting. The next meeting, though, is scheduled for April 13th, 14th, and 15th. It'll be a statewide teleconference, and hopefully all committee members will be able to be at that meeting. So we just, Bob, would you like to lead us off on House Bill 772? Yeah, just grab a chair up on the table there. And
I'll gradually depart from your committee members, sir. Mr. Chairman, I'm here representing the Juneau camp of the Alaska Native Brotherhood. And we have held several meetings regarding some of these things, but I might have to confess that the memorandum that we received regarding this meeting didn't necessarily pertain to the subject that is before us. But I think, though, that the representatives from our organization, as well as the Tlingit and Haida, are prepared to respond to this question. I presumed by looking at 772 that you're discussing the matter of barter and subsistence. We have discussed subsistence at length over the last several weeks. There've been several meetings held. We've been working vigorously towards compiling the consensus of opinion regarding subsistence. And at the present time, I would have to say that as far as Southeast is concerned, I don't think that we have reached any consensus of agreement. I might reiterate, though, for your purposes, that as far as the Juneau AMB is concerned, and as far as the Tlingit and Haida, and as far as some of the other organizations, and I can't purport to speak for Sealaska, but I would presume that they would follow very much our recommendations when we finally arrive at a formulated position, is that we're very skeptical of the definition of subsistence. And if you're talking about barter as it relates to this particular piece of legislation, you're talking about something that affects all of us in the Southeast. And the sentiment that I have received over the past 2 weeks, and we've been working as hard as we could within the time constraints that are available to us, is that the Southeast Natives at this point appear to be skeptical of defining what you mean by subsistence. And I'm being very, very, very candid and very open. Mostly because we haven't formulated a position, but if and when it does occur, it will be a position that will be taken between the major organizations in Southeast, which will to Sealaska, but I can't speak for Sealaska. Certainly, I think the ANS will, the Alaskan Sisterhood will go on. I think the apprehension that exists in, not only in this bill, but in 674 and 725 is the controls and mechanism that would, and I hope you, Mr. Chairman, if I'm deviating too far, you'll cut me off. But when you talk about barter and this type of thing and subsistence, I don't know how you can logically separate that two. Because in there are persons more knowledgeable here that can address that issue. But as pertains to the sentiment that appears to be going now in within our region, we probably are not at this point prepared to have anybody define what resources are available to us as Native people. And when you talk about subsistence, you might as well talk about Native, because we are the users, we live off the land, and we use the land and water resources, and we've been doing it all this time. We object strenuously to the proposal that was submitted by the Petersburg Advisory Committee to the Alaska Board of Fishers, wherein they proposed to cut off any subsistence use of salmon resources. We think it's discriminatory. We think it pertains only to us as Native people. But that positive position, I think, will be forthcoming as soon as our organization is able to take formal action. I'm only expressing the sentiment that I have learned over the past few weeks. We have held several meetings. We were dismayed that your organization wasn't able to meet with us, but we understood that you were in session, so was the Senate. So therefore, weren't able to meet jointly with the organizational meeting of the three major organizations. But on the question of barter, I think, and there are a number of other persons present, and if I might just, with the indulgence of the committee, Mr. Chairman, call upon some of our persons that are present to address this issue. And I might just preface it by stating, Mr. Chairman, that in within our region, I would hope that the fish and game biologists would understand that it is a very confined region, from Yakutat South to Cape Fox and down to Cape Fox. And it isn't as if we sit within our own little villages and within our own little areas. There is a certain amount of trade that exists and that preceded anybody else's arrival within our territories. So if you're talking about the resources of the land and the resources of the water, and going to prohibit us from bartering with our own kind, then you're treading on some pretty tough territory. And I would like to call on Mr. Jim Austin, if he would be advised to come forward.
Yeah, before he does that, Mr. Willard, the reason why we're taking up House Bill 772 is to correct what I think is a regulation or a statute that is wrong. And the reason why we're taking it up is because it was recommended to us by many people throughout the state in our hearings that we held, that the tradition of trade and barter is firmly implanted into the culture of Alaska's people. And we take this up as a direct recommendation of the people that we heard. And we know that this is perhaps going to be a controversial issue, but we do want to bring it out into the open, because I am aware of the fact that trade and barter does exist. It does happen. It's not only Native people that do it, but it's non-Native people that do it on a regular basis. And it just doesn't seem quite proper to have a regulation or a law on the books that prohibits something that we know full well is occurring. And that's what we're trying to address here. And if this, if House Bill 772 is passed by the House and the Senate and signed by the governor, it would require the Board of Fisheries and Game to adopt regulations permitting the barter of subsistence taken fish and game under certain conditions. So that's basically what we're driving at, and hopefully the comments will address the issue.
Sure. So, I noted that the within the proposals, which will be addressed by the Alaska Board of Fisheries, that it addresses the same thing. with the proposal, if it is adopted by the Alaska Board of Fisheries, negate legislation, or would legislation negate any action taken by the Board of Fisheries? Now, the reason I bring that up is because the comments that I have heard so far, and we're not through yet, we have a joint meeting of the Tlingit and Haida Community Council in Juneau, the Alaska Native Brotherhood, Juneau Camp, the Alaska Native Sister in Juneau Camp, Glacier Valley AMD and ANS camps on Monday, in which we will address the various issues regarding subsistence use, and these pieces of legislation which are before us, as well as the regionalization of the boards of fish, boards of game. You know, we're only here to advise you, Mr. Chairman, that we're addressing these issues within the time frame that we have available to us. And I might also advise you that I did receive a call this morning and yesterday from Angoon. They're very concerned about what you're up to, and they're very concerned about the various pieces of legislation. I did receive a call from Kate and from Hunan, from Plekwan, from Haines, and Heidelberg, Craig, Co-op, and various other places. And it's not because they trust me, but I have been sort of designated as the coordinator between the three major organizations that have seen Alaska Native and the Alaska Native Grand Camp to bring together the April 14th hearing for Southeast on subsistence. And if there are corrective measures in here that we should address, we're prepared to address. Mr. Austin, and I have and Mr. Hall McKinley, who is the president of the local Tlingit and Haida, and Mr. Ronald Williams, who is the president of local Juneau Camp, are here to address these issues.
Very good. Mr. Austin?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman? Personally, I fail to see the word barter in subsistence. If I already have dry fish with me and the fish and game decides they want more fish in the salmon stream, it's kind of like them preventing me from eating that dry fish so there can be more salmon in the streams, and it's already dead, and it will only help me, as I understand it. So I don't see the need for barter in any subsistence legislation, or even regulatory wise, to give you a my thoughts on it. As I understand it, at one time Angoon had the Angoon potatoes. They were red, they were sweet, and it was only Goon, Angoon, as I understood it, because we used to receive it in Huna. But in order for us to get the potatoes in Huna, we used to have to trade what we had. What we call salt bears came out of Glacier Bay, our home grounds, and we traded with Angoon for what we had. And the same goes for Haines. They had the Pulligan oil, which is somewhat different, but prepared different than we used to go over. And that holds true with the different villages in the southeast. So border is a way of life that we have never deviated from. Even today, if we look at it much closer, the Arabs are bartering oil with the United States, who is exchanging for food. Politicians are trading votes. That's barter, as I understand it. And none of us have all the expertise in the world, even with preparing foods. There are some that are better. So we look to other people who have the expertise, as we do today. We go to a mechanic to tune up our engine, or electrician to fix our wires, or to a doctor to heal us, or even to a lawyer to set us straight or protect us. I still haven't figured out where the word barter or the regulation on barter would enter into subsistence. The word barter is after the fact, after the catch, not before, it's after, already it's gone. Subsistence, again, you get right down to subsistence. There might be another word that could be used rather than subsistence. God, I think we all subsist in whatever field we do. Subsistence is a way of life for everybody. Whether they're employed, that's subsistence. Or whatever they're doing, it all adds up to that one thing, subsistence. So a barter, trading something for something, has been a way of life. It's a tradition in the United States, and I think it's the same here in the Southeast as well as somewhere in Alaska. And we have bartered with the different tribes up north for the things they have, and they keep the same with us. So, the way I look at it, at least, the word barter does not belong in subsistence. That's over. If I have a dry salmon, that's mine. Whether I eat it or give it to a friend of mine, that becomes my business. But if you already have a dry fish with you, it cannot lay eggs anymore. And, you will not bother the salmon streams at all. It's in a different area. It doesn't fit in my mind.
Okay, well, the Alaska statute, as it reads, is subsistence fishing is defined as a taking, fishing for, or possession of fish, shellfish, or other fishery resources for personal use and not for sale or barter. And that's, you know, precisely what we're going after. I believe, as you do, that there's no reason to even address that in the statute. I think it either should be removed, or that the other thing is that barter or trade ought to be permitted. That's basically where I see some discrepancy.
I think I'm speaking for the barter or trade business.
Mr. Will?
Mr. Chairman, I have to agree with you in that respect. I don't think there's anybody here that understands. I'm not saying that they don't understand. I'm saying that if they understood the lifestyle of some of these Clinkets 25 years ago, if we both came into town with a boatload of heron eggs, and we went down there to pick them up, and I don't need to say it as such, but I will say it anyway. Our counterparts, the white people, would laugh at us. Really, they would. We'd go down there and pick them up and carry them up to the branches. And now we find ourselves faced with a situation where it's highly commercialized, highly regulated, to the point where my own people who subsist on it, as he said, we don't like the word subsistence, are pretty restricted from even touching it. We have taken away
you know, and many times it's a point of, to us, a point of trade. I don't, in my area of Angoon, we don't have that many heron eggs around. We do have dry fish and various other things. And we go to Puna, which is where Mr. Austin is from. Or we go to Kapan, or we go to Heidelberg, or we go to Craig. No, they're still within the areas that are within our travel distance. And that doesn't mean that we didn't go to California. In the old days, our people used to roll to California.
Jim,
no problem.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, on page 2 of the bill before us, section G, beginning on line 1 and 8, as follows. In the section, barter means to exchange, trade for, or otherwise give and receive, subsisting, taking fish or game for, rather than consideration other than money. What is your reaction to this definition? You spoke earlier, you said that you questioned if subsistence and barter were separate. And I was wondering what do you think of this language? Mr. Chairman, the reason why I asked this question is...
Mr. Chairman, may I further respond to that? I might have a problem with it, and I would have to come back to you at some future time. But in a way, since I was asked directly what my immediate reaction is. There might be an immediate reaction, particularly because in some areas, we might run into a situation where the winds are pretty strong, you know, and our people can't get out, and they can't get up and get their normal foods, in which case they might have to exchange money. There might be a problem in that respect, in place of something that they would probably normally have put up to barter, as it were. Is that first thing?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I should have asked the question in a tentative manner. The response to be tentative until we have at your group's meeting.
Well, I expect that your groups will be taking a pretty close look at the various sections and getting your responses. And these bills, as we have before us now, you know, are subject to revision. And when we go into markup on these bills, I'm sure they're not, you know, not going to look exactly the same depending on what we hear from groups such as yours after we've done some studies. So we still have a long list to go. These bills are ready for full hubs and Senate review.
I might just add, Mr. Chairman, we are going through our own processes, and we don't have full control over the organizations. We will be responding, and hopefully by the time it reaches the Resources Committee, and this and other pending legislation, that perhaps Southeast will come up with a composite report to present to you. We just, in the absence of saying nothing, then that would imply that we didn't care. That's not right.
Mr. Hayes?
Just to follow up on your comment, I would think that we might ought to put a look into taking barter out of any legislation, rather than try to define what we mean by barter, because I think Mr. Austin made a good point that once the fish is dried, why, it sort of becomes a moot point. If they if people are dealing among themselves and they're not in a commercial undertaking, I mean, what difference does it make whether it's for goods or for money? I mean, how can you dictate what all the circumstances are going to be? I think I'd be more inclined to just take, you know, not to make any, just to barter out of any bill, so that they have understood that this is the way of life, that this is what they've been doing. Time began, or why interfere with that? That'd be my thought. Start trying to put limitations to define it, then you find somewhere down the line that you forgot about some particular circumstance that may occur, could be a problem.
Chairman,
Mr.
Barter, yeah. I think it's today there has been fish and game regulations which prohibit bartering amongst the relatives living in some villages, and it happened. I think that has to be given some due consideration. I don't think if we left it alone, it's going to go away. I think we need to face the problem as we see it, and try to put in some provision which would provide for some resolution of that problem.
I agree with you. One of the things that staff and I discussed was that any resolution that referred to the prohibition of sale or barter ought to be annulled by by resolution, and that ought to be done immediately. And I think we have staff working on that now to present to the subsistence committee for their review and then immediate action, and then moving that to the resources committee. But I do agree with you. The problem we have, though, is that in Alaska statute, we have reference to sale and barter and a prohibition statement. So we'd have to also address that as well. And what we could do is just adopt or have a bill drafted that would eliminate reference to sale or barter and leave it at that, rather than go forward in adopting any portion of House Bill 772.
Mr. Chairman, the possible problem that we may get into is the fact that fish and game personnel might drop a regulation, if it's not spoken to in the existing law, just like they've done before. They've done it before and they'll do it again.
Mr. Willer.
I'd have to agree with you. My people are very apprehensive about the activities of the Department of Fisheries. We're very apprehensive. We're not that sure that we should yield. I listened to the Senator Petula yesterday in his remarks regarding state handling of this issue. Subsistence or whatever. And I'm not sure of it. And it was Senator Huber, I think of it. I'm not sure that that's really what we want. We're very apprehensive. We lose things as we go along, whether we know it or not. I don't know. And on this question of barter, I'd have to agree with this young man here. And we should take it out before we even decide what subsistence is. And with the committee's indulgence, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call on two gentlemen to address this issue, which is before you. Mr. Ronald Williams, the president of the Juneau Alaskan Native Brotherhood. I would like him to speak to you.
Chairman, my name is Ron Williams, and I'm president of the Juneau Indian Camp. I just have one comment in regards to barter, and that deals with the economic status of the southeastern Alaska villages. In the Department of Labor and also the Lincoln Highland Manpower data, it indicates anywhere from 35% to 70% unemployment in the villages. The types of fish and types of game that are paying their horse subsistence are not entirely used for food. Portions of some fish, such as halibut and so forth, portions of seal and so forth, are used to make Indian artifacts such as moccasins and coats and so forth. If it's determined that the results of painting the fish in the game is sold as, sold as clothing of such as this, is then is that bartering or not? Are we violating the statute? If so, then my comment is, I think there's some like 16,000 Alaska Natives living in southeastern Alaska, and we're probably looking at 16,000 criminals. Thank you.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, if you can look at on page 1, I think you know it's in funding, I need a funding in the villages. On page 1, line 27, it refers to a fine of not more than $5,000, all about imprisonment for not more than 6 months for both. What's your reaction to this provision?
It goes back probably, Mr. Chairman, in response to Mr. Gaddis, of our concern of them over-regulated. I mean, you know, I might just relate a little story about the information. My dad, you know, he was 69 years old when he passed on to a very old, apparently. In the early days, he went out and subsisted, as you say. And he was arrested by then territorial officials, and he was a minister. And they brought him in for fishing without a license. Later, he got his license, and he was all legal. He came back home, and we needed more food. So he went out and was arrested again, this time for fishing in a closed area. They knew no boundaries. They knew where our foods were, where to get them, when to get them. And criminal violations, I think you're probably going to have more than 16,000 criminals. Now, Chairman, I'd like you to hear from Mr. Al McKinley, who is the president of the Plunkett and Ida Community Council.
Thank you. Okay, got the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My customary practice, I guess I'm used to standing up in a time to adjust the chair, so just a habit with me since I've been involved in politics. I've been involved in politics not for myself, but for my people. And recently we just had the executive committee. My name is Alfred McKinley Sr. I'm president of the Thinking Haida Community Council in Juneau. I'm also the Grand Secretary of the Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand Camp. At the present time, we reviewed some of the bills by the executive committee. I think it was 725 and HB 674, I think it was. But we did not have time to actually review those bills. So consequently, the executive committee did appoint a committee. The chairman of that committee will be presiding in the Juneau. Since we are living in the Juneau, they picked Richard Stift, who will be the chairman for that committee, and John Hope, Alfred Whitmark, and myself. And it will be more or less up to us as far as the Grand Camp direction, and we will be going joint venture with Thinking Haida and the local camp EMB. And I'm pretty sure that we'll be going to joint venture with Central Council, since we will be sending Mr. Willard and Mr. Losher to the Anchorage. While we are in session in Puna, we will have a voice as far as from Southeast Alaska, and Mr. Willard and Mr. Losher will be representing us on everything that we're doing. But we discussed just what is subsistence. The executive committee couldn't define what is subsistence. Actually, in a debate, what was said actually was that I think we should change that word. It's our way of life. This is our livelihood. And subsistence actually, to me, in the government business, it's a per diem. In lieu of subsistence, you get compensated. There's a subsistence, actually, it's not the word for us. It's our way of life. This is our livelihood. If I went out there with the sports fishing gear, I'm restricted to catch 3 fish a day, I take that fish to my house, and if I want to can it, it's up to me. It becomes my property. It becomes mine. In this case, our customary way of living too is that any one of our people that die, now we take off the tribe, the Eagle Tribe and the Raven Tribe. In other words, actually, if the Raven Tribe dies, our way of living is it's our customary way that we have to keep a little token. Maybe we'll give in consideration cash, or let's say, for example, if my father lacked salmon, okay, this is what we will do. We will contribute salmon, the Alpha Tribe will smoke salmon. And this is our livelihood, this is the way we're living. I realize that everything, according to HR 39, everything's gonna be based on whatever is enacted here in Alaska. But to me, it seems like me they're deviating from what they're supposed to be doing, is to protect the American Indians. So we haven't actually settled anything as far as subsistence or barter, like what was discussed here. And it's just like what they have said earlier, is that we have our way of living, our way of livelihood, but we haven't actually settled all these bills that have been passed. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, these things were created, and we were not ready for it. But right now we are going to joint venture with Thinking Haida, the AMB, and other organizations. And so far we have picked Mr. Willard and Mr. Losher and Mr. Stitt. We'll be going all in one direction. And actually all these things that are right now is all the Sea Alaska, Thinking Haida Central Council, all the AMB are now going in one direction. And right now we're just getting ready, and we are holding our meeting Monday. And of course the Community Council, June UNO and the local AME will be having a meeting. I think this will be the first time in UNO, you know, that we'll be moving in one direction. And before we were more or less one entity, and but right now we're all moving in one direction. But I think in a later date that we'll give you more information as far as what definitions are in the bill. And I actually haven't looked at it too good, and some words look double negative to me or contradict each other. So, but I think at the meeting that we'll have a better result. So I have to say thank you very much.
No, thank you for your comments, and like I said, we have, you know, we have plenty of time, and we will be looking forward to your comments on these proposals. And we will be holding, you know, more meetings as we go down the pike. We've got, you know, we've got the way things are going in the legislature, we've got plenty of time.
Right. Thank you very much for the floor.
Okay.
I yield the floor.
Chairman. Before we close, I realize that there are other measures pending before you, and that there might be others that might want to address this issue. This position on, not a position, but a reflection of the sentiments that we've learned so far is that of Southeast. And does not in any way reflect on any position that might be taken in some of the other areas. We are cognizant of the fact that the lifestyle in the other regions might not necessarily be that of ours. We are water oriented. We have year-round activities. And I might reiterate this as much as I can, but as a matter of fact, I can state that, I think, on behalf of our organization. We just, with all due respect to your officials, we just frankly don't trust the Alaskan officials. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Wood? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on 772 at this time? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Norman Cohen from Moonham Klutzke in Bethel. And basically, Moonham Klutzke, which is an organization connected with the Association of Village Council Presidents, supports the bill as it's written. There are some things that I would like to talk about. And first one, section one dealing with muskox. This regulation, this legislation, I believe, is written mainly to the situation in Nelson Island. That situation is where there are a surplus of muskox on the island now, which has been having a problem. There's been a problem over the winter because there are too many. The carrying capacity of the island, it cannot carry as many animals as there are there, and there has been a large die-off. The only possible way you can hunt muskox now is with the $500 tag for a resident. And what this section would be to allow the people on Nelson Island to take, if they were the ones who get the permits, to take those for their own personal use. And this certainly makes sense. You might ask, well, muskox isn't a traditional food that hasn't been used forever and ever by people in the area. Well, Human Klutzke's position is that whatever animals are available is what should be allowed. You know, the moose change their course of where they live. Their habitat moves, and when it's available, you take it. And if it's not available, you have to take something else. And that's the situation on Nelson Island, where during the red meat, there's just not that much red meat available. And this would allow for that to happen. And we support it as it's written here. As to 257, I, on behalf of Moonham Klutzke, have presented a proposal, which is in your packet, concerning barter. Now, there's two things. There's barter, and there's giving food away, subsistence clutch food away to people in the village who need it, who are not able to get it themselves. I don't think that under the bill that's 772 that that's discussed or that's even it's considered. And I think that it has to be. The and how we've done that is by making amendments to 257, the subsistence hunting zones are the only place, 1605, 257, that's the only place where subsistence hunting of game is defined. And it's only in those areas where when you take game for subsistence use that you put a definition that it's defined as for personal use or for family use. What we'd like to see is that the family be extended. Extended to, as it's written, to people who live in the household on a full-time basis, to people who are related by blood, marriage, adoption, or people who are dependent for his subsistence, or that person's sustenance, on the person who's getting the subsistence by food. So if you are in a subsistence area, created under 1605-257, if you catch a moose in that area, you would not just have to use that moose for your family, but you could also allow people in the village who are short of food and who are not able themselves to go out, whether they're old and infirm or whatever reason it is, allow you to give it to those people also. And that's something that when we brought up before the Board of Game last year some subsistence area proposals, they said, well, do you realize that all this act allows is personal use and that you can't give it away in the for the village if people need it? And that's why this thing, that's why it's been brought up now. And it would have to be a extension of the definition of subsistence hunting for game. Now, that could also be done for fish, and it could be just put right in that fishing statute. Now, as far as barter is concerned, which is the other part of the coin, the trading, of course, people know more than I do about traditional trading of, say, seal oil or seal meat for moose or dried fish, and which goes on, and especially one of the areas especially impacted by this is the Yukon-Tuscan Delta, where examples such as people from Chivac who would trade dried fish with people from the lower Kuskokwim and maybe trade moose meat from people from the upper, from the middle Yukon area or the area Russian Mission type area. It's that which is now illegal, and it's that which you're addressing here. Now, there's many ways to address it. One way is just to cut out the use the word barter in the existing legislation. Another way is to do what is proposed in your bill and also proposed in Senator Fomen's bill 506, which is a little different. What is needed is, what I was saying, we don't really have too much trouble with the, or any trouble at all with how it's presently written in 772. If you do it by just cutting out the word barter, the division of fish and game, they have to have some mechanism in which to control this, because if it's not controlled, it can get out of hand. And the what's presently here in section 2 of 772 would provide a means by which the division of game, division of fish, can keep a handle on what is happening and be able to control it if it's needed. And it can be the biologist, the fish biologist in Bethel, he was saying people in Bethel were complaining last year because they could not give away fish that they subsistence caught fish to their friends or their outside their family, which is something that which has always been done. And the biologist said, well, we really don't have any problem on a small scale. But when you get to a large scale, you have to have some mechanism by which to cut it off, or it's just going to get out of hand. And I think this is what the wording like this creates. It creates that power in the division of game, division of fish, to do that. And that's why I'm sort of uneasy with not setting out what you want to do in a statute, but letting it free flow and roam. And that's what's in H.R. 39, of course, is similar, using the words customary and traditional uses of the game, which would include the trading, the bartering, and the giving away fishing game. Now, that's pretty free-flowing, but I don't know if maybe that's just as good a way to do it. I'm not real sure. But you support the idea of putting of having barter included this time, and to take care of that problem, which has been voiced many times but never has been taken care of. Of course, I would remind you that I did indicate that the giving away to people in an extended family and to those people in the village who need it, who are not able to get the subsistence collect food themselves, that should be included also, because that's an area which is just which is really important. In your subsection D of 772, section 2D, it says means to exchange, trade for, or otherwise give and receive subsistence taken fish or game for valuable consideration other than money. Does that include those people in the village who can't go out and get the food themselves? And I'm afraid that it doesn't. I'd like to see it include that.
Does your recommendation do that?
Well,
the language proposed by...
I'm afraid I wrote this up pretty fast. What this has done is, in part D, if you'll see, and the definitions, I've included the word family means a person related by blood, marriage, adoption, a person living on a full-time basis within the household, or a person dependent for sustenance. Now, that's basically the wording of Senator Holman's 506, but it's... it includes a person dependent for his sustenance, which would expand even what he has put in his definition. Now, of course, under this, under what would be section 1605-828, the word family doesn't even exist in that. So to define family in the statute without even having it in there, what actually it should be is that definition of family should be included in the one on 1605-257, the definition of what subsistence use is in hunting, and the same one, I think it's 1605-940, I'm not sure, the one for fish. Yeah, 1605-940, the one for fish. It should just be included in those. But the ideas, though, behind all of this is we're right back, not supportive for it.
Yeah, okay, well, that's basically what I heard at the Bethel meeting from people working with me, that the extended family has to be taken into consideration. I know that's never been addressed before in regulation, as far as I know. But we are attempting to do it, and of course, we take your recommendations here as we discuss them as we go along. Are there any questions for at this point? Do you have any other comments on?
Another question, Mr. Chairman. It's only that I just received a letter, a copy of a letter to the Department of Fish and Game from the residents of Nelson Island, and he quoted the number of my thoughts on the island, 75, and they do not want sports fishing done.
Sports fishing?
I mean, sport hunting done on the island. They would prefer to use it for subsistence.
The village of Tuxuk Bay has come out extremely strongly against sports hunting of muskox. The village of Tanunik has complained of information, misunderstanding what the Division of Game has said about sports hunting of muskox, and they are meeting, I believe, today or tomorrow, and all the villages in Nelson Island are going to be discussing this question, and we'll let the Board of Game know how they feel, and they'll also let the this committee know how it feels, but I believe that from being at the lower, from the Central Garden City Fish and Game Advisory Board meeting last weekend, that the feeling is going to be absolutely against sports hunting on Nelson Island. The Nunavak Island people want to keep it, and that's where it stands. That's where it stood then. There's one thing I would like to, if I could also add something else. 1605-257 is considered here, and even though it's only in 772, it's only considered in by subsection H. Another proposal which we submitted, and it hasn't been acted on or discussed in any form, but what could be an addition to this bill, would change how subsistence hunting areas are made. There's two problems. We presented two proposals last time. Well, there's basically three problems. The first problem is who can use the resources. That's being taken care of by this bill. The second thing is, how do you force the Division of Game to make a decision and back it up with something? Right now, the Division of Game is able to make their decision, and they have no, there's nothing that they have to base that decision on. It's just discretionary. It's completely discretionary. And what we wanted to do and what we put in is something to make them make a decision based on the actual circumstances in the particular area and force research into that area before a decision is made, because the fight is between sports hunters and non-sports hunters, and the conflicts are not well researched. The competition is not well researched. How much the area is grown and how much the competition is raised, and I think that the information has to be there, and then the board has to make a decision based on some criteria. And we made criteria as one of them, whether the population is able to support non-subsistence harvest. The idea being that there has to be a handle on the Division of Game when they deny one to have reasons, and good biological and food reasons for making those decisions. And right now, last time, you know, they didn't give us any reasons for not accepting the subsistence proposals in the units 18 and 21. They made controlled use areas instead, but you know, the provisions, the reason for the act can be gotten around. The intent of 1605-257 can be easily circumvented unless there's something in that act which forces a reason for the decision, so that the reasons have to be consistent with the intent of the act. And maybe one of these areas will be approved sometime.
Well, you're referring to the subsistence zones that have been requested under existing statutes?
Under 1605-257, how it reads right now.
Right. I know there's been a lot of dissatisfaction because, and I think you're absolutely correct, where the Department of Fish and Game, Division of Game, has not come up with any biological data that would support rejecting the petitions that have been signed. I think they've followed all the legal mechanism as put forth in those statutes, but nothing has been done, which also is, I think, tied in with exclusive game guiding areas. So we have exclusive game guiding areas, but why don't we have subsistence zones, which also ties in with the statement made by the Department of Fish and Game in 1973 that stated that they have adopted an internal policy that the primary use fish and game resource would be for subsistence purposes, but I don't see that being carried out where we know there's evidence available, at least visible evidence, no scientific or biological data available to substantiate the decision to continue sport hunting. It still exists, and at the same time, there are more restrictions placed on residents in the limited area for going out and gaining access to those fish and game resources. And there is a problem, and it's something that we're going to have to continue to take a look at and research. Also, I think also we have to, I think this committee is going to have to make some recommendations to the Finance Committee on the amount of research and management that actually occurs out in those areas, so that the Board of Game can have some data available to them so that they can make knowledgeable decisions. The points are well taken. glad you support some of the views that I've maintained for quite some time. Do you have any other comments on this bill or any other bill we have before us? Or would you?
I do have on some other bills. They're not lengthy comments, actually. The only comment is one on House Grant Resolution 48 concerning the legalizing hunting of migratory birds. I just finished a 8-month stint with the Department of Law, District Attorney's Office, and there's nothing worse or nothing more important than the 1, 2, 3, 4th whereas many otherwise law-abiding citizens have been forced to resort to illegal hunting to provide for the health and well-being of their families. There's nothing worse when you're in the position of a prosecutor in the state to have to be involved with people who are illegally hunting, but they don't want to be. And what also arises from this is that people who have don't see any reason for one fish and game law, that being no hunting of migratory birds, also see, well, why should I abide by any fish and game law? Why should I care about the season of hunting moose if, you know, if their law, the law is such that it just doesn't make sense for some fish and game laws? It puts a bad atmosphere on all fish and game laws. And this 772, what that tries to do is take care of situations which have not been taken care of in the past. This also addresses that. The only thing that I might be missing in reading it is that the state legislature is requesting, if this thing passes, to conform other treaties to the approach taken by the Russian USSR treaty. What I don't see is the asking of the Senate to pass by the 2/3 margin the Soviet Union treaty. Now, I think, from what I understand, and I'm certainly not that well acquainted with what's going on in Washington with it, is that that thing is just dead in the wind. Nothing's happening to it in the Senate. And the Senate has to ratify that treaty as well as change the other ones. The resolve clause doesn't speak to making sure that the USSR treaty is ratified, and I think that should be included.
Dave, do you have any information on that? I was under the impression that it was ratified, and I stand corrected.
The treaty's been signed by, negotiations are completed between the U.S. and the USSR, but it hasn't been ratified yet. It was signed, the negotiations ended in 76, but still hasn't been ratified by the Senate.
Nothing's happened on it. It's just sitting in the Senate. That's what I'm told.
If that's the case, would the committee have any objections to adding another whereas clause there to encourage the Senate to ratify that treaty? Okay, we could just go ahead and insert that additional whereas clause and make sure the language is in there. Is that it on
there was one other thing, if I'm not taking too much time.
No, just go ahead. I know you've come a long way, and I know you've given this a lot of study, and I know I'm probably taking some other time from some other people, but I want you to go ahead.
The only other thing is if I could look at yours, because it's one of those things that you were going to consider, and that deals with subsistence permits for it's a request to start.
What bill are you on?
Well, it's not a bill. It's in your activity report.
Oh,
I don't know if I'm even supposed to know that. But if requested, the staff can prepare a statement on proposed subsistence permit criteria for subsistence fishing for the fisheries meeting on April 3rd. That Jeff Haynes of the AG's office wrote subsistence permit fishing, and he wrote it on behalf of for the whole state with all these kinds of regulations. Basically, what the regulations would do if they were passed in whole would cut out subsistence fishing in the Yukon and Kuskokwim Delta. And the Department of Division of Fish said that they were not planning at the present time to implement any subsistence permits in the AYK area. I guess they are in effect in most other areas of the state, but what I would suggest is that the this committee recommend to the Division of Fisheries that the Board of Fisheries, that whenever they come up with some type of subsistence permit plan for the AYK area, that it be written by people in the AYK area to cover the situations there. Because that thing which was written here is just so far off base. I mean, such things as you have to have your, the original one was you have to have your net marked so it's visible from shore, which is an impossible thing. The second thing was that you have to be, the net has to be attended the whole time, which would cut out set nets. Those are two of the most basic fish, subsistence fishery gear and the type, the way it's done, that would be completely cut out. I think that the board should take a strong look before they implement permits in the AYK area, and if they do implement them, that they are written in the AYK area and not written in UNO by somebody who hasn't been there. And that's my last say. So I would like to see the committee take some action on and recommend something to the Board of Fisheries.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Cohen? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Byron, did you want to address the committee on any of these bills? Mr. Osier?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Carl Rozier, the Director of Commercial Fisheries with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I'd like to speak, Mr. Chairman, primarily to House Bill 772. We're reviewing the multitude of legislation that the legislature is considering during this session on subsistence. I feel that on this issue of barter of subsistence taken from Fish and Game, that the wording in 772 is as good a wording as there is around the present time. We have some slight modifications which we would suggest to the committee on the wording, but it does provide for a problem which has been brought to the department's attention after being on the books for a substantial period of time. The original definition of subsistence in the statutes, of course, was adopted in 1959. We've known for some time, of course, that people have, for a long period of time, given fish and game away, and in many cases there has been a gift of moose meat or a gift of whitefish, dried fish, this type of thing. Knowing that this has gone on, I believe that in terms of the state's implementation of enforcement on this, I think that there's been a very conservative policy in terms of actually enforcing these. People have indicated, though, that, and as I say, we've recognized that the actions are going on, and we feel the problem does require attention. We feel that you address it fairly well in 772. I think in terms of the bill itself, Section H, appears in Section 1, Subsection H, it appears that there are some problems with this in trying to determine exactly what your intent was. 1605-257 doesn't really deal with the muskox issue. I believe that Section 1605-345 deals with muskox, which is a state statute requiring the permit system and requiring the payment of fees for residents and non-residents as well. So I believe that this particular section appears to be anyway in somewhat in conflict with the intent of what you're attempting to accomplish. I think in terms of the Section 1605-828, I would point out that in line 16, where specify the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game, we would suggest here that the wording or the joint boards in joint session as appropriate. And the reason for this being the statutes are quite specific in terms of the authorities of the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. In terms of the bartering systems which have been in effect, as I said before, marine mammals and land animals products are frequently traded for fish items. And of course, the Board of Game would handle game, the Board of Fish would handle fish, and there is no mechanism within this at the present time to in fact provide for the joint boards to deal with this, to provide specifically for fish and game. Line 25, under subsection B, we would suggest that the committee insert the wording following programs, the very first word in the sentence, enforcement of these programs. What we've encountered, of course, in this particular issue, the reason for this particular wording is that the management program does not include the enforcement program. And quite possibly, the enforcement program could, in fact, be circumvented in some manner that would permit unrestricted harvesting, either of game or fish, and in fact cause problems associated with the waste of the resource.
How would that read down?
That would read, if the commissioner finds that the barter of subsistence taken fish or game is resulting in the waste of the resource, damage to fish stocks or game populations, or circumvention of fish or game management programs, or enforcement of these programs, he may prohibit the barter of fish and game or close any or all areas to subsistence take of fish and game by ordinance order. It's offered for the committee's consideration.
Can you explain the rationale again, just for my information?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Management per se does not include enforcement necessarily. And under this, if the public safety was in fact put into a position of not being able to enforce the regulations which might be adopted for some reason, you would conceivably have an uncontrolled situation. And under those circumstances, then the commissioner would in fact, if it was specified, would in fact be in a position to close, just as he would be if the management program was being jeopardized.
I have some problems with that because I don't know how closely public safety and Department of Fish and Game work, and I don't know how much coordination there is. I know there are problems because there's, first of all, insufficient management out in the field and insufficient enforcement, and this seems to give an escape clause to the commissioner that if he gets a word from Burton that he's not able to enforce, then you can close it down by emergency order without any kind of biological data to back up the decision. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong there, but that's the way I see it.
You have raised a good point on this, but I don't think that the remainder of the sentence, in fact, gives the commissioner that much latitude. Is resulting in the waste of a resource, damage to the qualifiers in regard to the enforcement activity.
Okay, well, it's something I think we can take
a
look at.
It's offered as a suggestion to the committee, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, in regard to section D, in this section, barter means to exchange, trade for, or otherwise give and receive subsistence taken fish or game for valuable consideration other than money. At the recent joint board hearing in Bethel, there was considerable discussion of this definition of barter. And I can't really say that there was consensus one way or the other in terms of just exactly what barter should in fact be defined as. But there was considerable discussion testimony presented to the boards indicating that people did not necessarily want barter to include the trading of fish and game or for monetary gain or for such items as trading dried fish for snowmobiles. This type of thing was considered as jeopardizing community's subsistence life style. And the board received considerable testimony on this. There were some people that did testify that they felt that, whatever was necessary in support of the subsistence lifestyle was legitimate in terms of barter. But for those people that, in the purest sense of subsistence, it was important that the barter definition not include not permit people to barter for items such as snowmobiles or airplanes or vehicles of any type, this type of thing. They pushed very hard in terms of the food items themselves. They wanted to be able to trade seal oil for dried fish or for moose meat, the items which were attractive.
Now,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I take difference to your comments. As a policy, be careful. Barter is part and parcel of subsistence. And you allude to the issue of subsistence and saying that that type of barter would do damage to the subsistence lifestyle. Let's get down to the basics and recognize that the state has no position or no definition of subsistence to begin with. So when you say it's damaging to the subsistence lifestyle, you're telling me you've got a definition. I disagree. You don't.
Mr. Chairman, if I might respond to that, I believe that I indicated that this was the testimony that the board received at Bethel.
And this is what you're passing on to us as basic policy for the department.
Well, in terms of the department, I think that we would prefer to see the term barter defined for the exchange of food items, the actual products themselves, and not for monetary or for such items as the subsistence people indicated they were opposed to in the AYK area, but the ABCP people that were in fact participating at that joint board meeting.
It seems to me that part of the time that people may have at their option or choice or by election, only the option to barter. And if you're going to restrict their ability to barter for things other than food, so that they can take care of other facets of their lives, they're being, to say the least, a little bit restrictive on you.
Mr. Chairman, I think that in regard to being restrictive, I think that it really comes down again to the age-old problem of the definition of subsistence. And even within the people that are concerned about this particular issue, there's a very definite difference of opinion in terms of what barter should in fact include. In general, I think that it's not necessarily restrictive in terms of protecting subsistence by, in fact, building in the additional expenses of subsistence gathering of subsistence foodstuffs. In other words, is it legitimate to dry salmon and over a period of time, in fact, acquire an airplane, which then becomes part of the method of collecting subsistence foodstuffs? This is what you get into, and certainly in terms of a mandate, at the joint board meeting. We certainly don't mandate one direction or another, but both viewpoints were put forth very strongly.
Chairman, just to follow up, subsistence as a lifestyle, that is, if you might want to call it the Bush's answer to the cash economy, the restriction of bartering and only for food. I've never advocated that in the cash economy that I restrict your ability to spend your cash, but only for food.
If, you know, the earlier testimony that we received, not only here, but on other parts of Alaska, I think there seems to be some consensus that if a person goes out and buys a license and goes out and kills a moose, takes it home, takes care of it, and has some available, and would like to have some dry fish, and somebody else has some and you don't, custom is to, you know, to consult, what they call it, two consenting adults, you know, enter into an exchange. We don't regulate people who consort with one another, who commit adultery or cohabitate. As a matter of fact, we're trying to strike that language in the law. It's archaic and makes no sense. And yet you are telling us that you want to regulate how people who were here before you ever thought of coming here conducted their lifestyles, are saying that if they want to exchange their moose for a snow machine, that they shouldn't do it. I mean, we sell moose horns and caribou horns for a price to foreigners and home residents. That's okay. But we can't trade a moose for a snow machine. I don't see the logic in the thinking.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that on this, I'm expressing the department's position, and it's again offered to the committee for your consideration. I know that there are people that you wish to testify here today. I don't want to belabor this particular point, but basically, we support the idea of the definition of barter, including the exchange for food steps.
Very good. Okay, Mr. Chairman, a couple of closing remarks. The traditional hunter, trapper, fisherman from my area historically bartered for everything that they had. Originally the Russian American company, the Alaska Commercial, the Northern Commercial, traders there in the stores would barter a rifle for a shoulder high pile of fox fur. I just see the issue of bartering as a continuation of that type of activity. When I'd not give a shoulder high pile of fox fur for a rifle now, but
I'm confident.
But you know, that's where that comes from, and I ask if you're in a position to even suggest policy that maybe you take some of my comments and take them back to your people, because I'm sure they can receive as well as fish it out.
I'm confident of that too.
I know you guys can receive that. You guys are my favorite whipping boys for all politicians for a long time.
Mr. Chairman, I have two questions. A previous speaker stated that the word subsistence and barter were inseparable. Do you feel that word barter is inherent within the other meaning of subsistence? And the other question is, has to do with the extended family concept. What are your reactions to those questions?
Yes, I think that in terms of the extended family situation, we've discussed this also with many of the people in the Delta area, especially. And in general, we find no problem with this within the context of the barter and definition we're talking about. We feel that is a part of public subsistence lifestyle, the property plot. It hasn't, it's been recognized as that. It's a very difficult thing, of course, as I've already indicated, to perhaps enforce. And I think that Mr. Tesloff from the Public Safety Department is here to testify also. But it is inseparable, as I see it, as part of the subsistence question.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a question, but going to the public here, testimony by Keith Bobby of Limeville and with your permission, I would like to read the whole thing.
Please.
This is Peter Baum, whether he's employed or he's receiving public assistance or he's receiving his on the welfare list. Here's what we have to say. We had no more food in Limeville, so I thought we moved. Even though we had many kids to feed, we shared on moose meat with other people who also needed food. Someone turned me in for killing the moose out of season. The state knew that it's impossible to store goods into Lyme village in winter, but they took moose meat away and fined me $50. I think it is odd that I hunt by foot with my moccasins on and then tried for hunting food for my family and then they are hungry. And airplanes land all the time right in front of my village, shoot moose and caribou, cut off the heads and take off, leaving the meat behind. State of Alaska says you cannot give meat away to your friend, yet that is a way of life. This is absolutely discouraging. My personal feeling, Mr. Chairman, is that this $50 should be return to Pete Bobby with interest. But he's, I don't know if he's employed, but if he gets his $50 from me, to do this sort of thing to a person who's trying to feed his family and other people within the village, it's outrageous.
Well, the only thing I can say is that apparently somebody was doing their job to the people.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not familiar with that particular case or the circumstances surrounding that. I'm really not prepared to respond to Mr. Manning on that point. But I think that these types of things were point out the very complex nature of subsistence as the resources in these cases become. We are finite to begin with, and the allocation of that resource in terms of the structure we manage for the welfare of the resource itself is critical. As long as the population is at a high level, generally things go along pretty well. As it declines, or subjected to interior use by all user groups on this. The allocation question is certainly there. It was alluded to earlier in some of the testimony, of course, that the department, and I might say the board, courts have also adopted the policy in regards to the assistance being the first and most beneficial use of the resource. In terms of the Board of Games efforts, related to establishing subsistence zones. I know the boards have worked very hard at this. To date, they have been unable to put that package together, but they have worked at it. Where the proposals have been brought forth to the board from the people in an area, the fellows in the game division have in fact made every effort to put the information that they have, the data that they have, put this before the board for their consideration. And in the final analysis, there is information available on the rationale for supporting those proposals and the decisions made by the board to adopt or reject. And certainly the committee, if so
questions, comments? Questions from Mr. Walter? Thank you very much. We'll be holding another meeting for markup for this bill and hope that you could be here with us next week.
Fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify on 772? We do have several more bills that we want to consider. Yes, please, sir.
My name is Don Tetzlow. We are representing Department of Public Safety, Fish and Wildlife Protection Division. Mr. Chairman, if I may, ask Mr. Guy to give me that man's full name and address, and I will personally look into that moose, behaving of the moose, and personally respond to the chairman or Mr. Guy, whichever you prefer. I don't know the particulars either, but I'll sure find out. Mr. Chairman, as a representative of Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, I'm going to speak strictly to enforcement. I'm not here to try to suggest a definition of subsistence, and speak specifically to 772. Basically and overall, we see no problem with this bill or the enforcement of it. I appreciated Mr. Rocher's comment, though, in line 25, paragraph B, that, in fact, I had made a note here to myself before his comments to include, say, and continue line 24 to read, for circumvent fish and game management programs or regulations. In other words, without a mention there of regulations or the enforcement of, it's possible you're leaving a loophole for those that may try to circumvent the board's or this committee's intent. And if Mr. Burton said, hey, we're going to close the season, he would be saying it because we have enforcement problems in the field and there are people abusing the regulations or this bill. And that's when I believe he would call you and say, hey, or call the Commissioner of Fish and Game and say, we better close it. We've got some real problems in the B because there's problems in enforcing the regulations. And Mr. Chairman, we are also, as Mr. Rocher mentioned, very, very concerned for the definition of barter. And maybe I might get a little personal here, but I don't believe that the original statute 16 that's in the books today, nor this one, there was any intent of prohibiting anybody from a lifestyle or taking fish and game because they needed to subside on. I don't believe that was the intent of the legislature in 59 or the intent of the person that proposed this bill. I venture to say that everybody in this room, today, reading the statutes, Title 16, has violated Title 16 in one way or another in bartering with fish and game. I'll be willing to bet everybody in this room has done that. But let me ask, how many of you have been cited for that? I would say none of you here. And again, I want to support Mr. Rocher's comments about we have never gone after a person trying to enforce this section when a person has traded fish for moose, moose for fish, sea oil for donuts. I don't know of an officer in this division and department that has ever cited anybody for that type of bartering. But when you start taking fish with a net, you get a permit, you go out and I'm talking about everybody. And I've seen many, many abuses. You go out and you take fish, you take salmon, take them home, you can them or do whatever you want, dry them, pickle them, and then those fish wind up in a bar and are being sold by John Doe that owns that bar. I think that's wrong. I think that's abusing the subsistence regulations and the privileges. Now that's where I'll get back to on a professional basis. We have a problem with Section D in the definition of barter, in that it says giver receives subsistence taken fish or game for valuable consideration other than money. I believe you would be leaving a loophole in this bill if you left it in that way. For not the native, not for the person that trades dried fish for moose, but for the person that's going to catch the fish, take the moose, and take it down to the bar and trade it for booze. Now you say that's his privilege. Well, it may be, and it's a lifestyle, and that may be, but under the subsistence, under the auspices of taking fish or game because you need it to eat, and then taking it down and trade it for booze, or as the snow machine, I think is wrong. So, as a representative of the department, we're saying we feel if you have some problems with that, and we would recommend some exchange of words in there. And just personally, I thought that possibly remove valuable consideration and make it exchange for other fish and game resources, or of like material, you know. And I agree, I can see this man's point here with years ago they traded furs for rifles, and they still do today. But remember, and I'm thinking of the violator now. I'm thinking of the guy that's going to go out and circumvent this bill. He's going to go out and violate the regulations. And he's going to go out and he's going to be stealing from you and everybody else in this room. Now that's the man I'm concerned about. Not the man that trades dried fish for moose or moose for whale oil. Okay? Yeah, I'm getting a little personal,
but
I better
put it. Could I get a little personal?
Everybody else's.
Well, to put it simply, I don't care for your position either.